Look at verse 1. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. Now, what is this evil that's common among men? Look at verse 2. A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth, yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity, and it is an evil disease. In other words, he's saying, you know, you can make it all, you can make all the money, and God will give you all these things, but at the end of the day, anybody can take it. Anybody can take it. Do you realize today that all it would take is, I mean, a major happening in the world, or our dollar just all of a sudden lose its value, or all of a sudden the power grid shuts down and everything goes dark, and the money that you have in a bank, goodbye. How many of you see that? I mean, just like that. All right, Ecclesiastes 5:13 says this, there is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. In other words, you can keep money to where it'll hurt you. And this is what James is saying there back in James chapter 5. He says there in verse 1, it says, go to now, ye rich man, and weep, and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rest of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. James is saying here that the money you have that you've been hoarding up all this time could have been used to glorify God, but you didn't. You hoarded it. And now let's see how that money's going to help you out when the bad times come. With the bad times. Now, you may say tonight, well, you know, James is not talking to me. I mean, after all, I'm certainly not rich. Well, join the club. None of us are. But compared to most people in the world, we are. Now, we say we're not rich. And really, compared to, you know, the average American, perhaps we're not. But compared to the rest of the people in the world, we're very rich. Most people in the world do not have what an average American has today. And we may not be millionaires, but we are richer than most. I remember when I was in the military, one time I got to go to the lovely country of Misira, Oman. Now, if you've never been there, believe me, you didn't miss anything, okay? It's a little tiny island right off the coast of Misira, right there smack dab at the edge of the Persian Gulf. And they call it Moon Island. You know why they call it Moon Island? Because when you wake up in the morning and you push the tent back, it looks like you're on the surface of the moon. I mean, it is ugly. Well, the people that live there are Omanis. And these Omanis are very, very poor people, at least there where I was at. And to tell you how poor they were, now, we have poverty here, and certainly the people here that are they're in poverty stricken, I mean, they're going through some tough times. But what I saw there is we had pieces of plyboard that we had used to make our bookshelves beside of our cots. We'd lay a cots at night. We'd make our own bookshelves out of pieces of plyboard. And those plyboard were actually crates that they hauled all of our stuff over with on planes. So we took the piece of plyboard, like I got my piece of plyboard, the guy over here got his piece of plyboard, and we'd cut it and make a little shelf about this tall, you know, and then we'd put the shelves on it, and we'd put our books or whatever we may want on our shaving cream, whatever. We'd put it on there. Well, when we got ready to leave there, that island, we had to make sure that we got all this stuff taken, you know, the trash thrown away and everything. And so they made us take all of our bookshelves, load them up on the back of a truck, and take it to this area. And we were supposed to push it off in this area. And it kind of looked like a dump, kind of. But I noticed when we got there, there were a bunch of Omanis standing there. And these people were about that big around in the shoulders. I mean, thin, thin. And they're just standing there watching us. And I'm thinking to myself, what are they looking at? And we backed the trucks up. We took those shelves and we pushed them off there. And when we got back in the truck, I saw all these Omanis running and grabbing these shelves. I'm thinking, boy, I guess they need bookshelves. That ain't what they needed. We came back the next day to dump more shelves. And then we saw a little makeshift community. And they took those bookshelves and they just leaned them up against each other. And they had a husband and his wife and his kids laying underneath that. It was their shelter now. We're talking pieces of plyboard that had been thrown away was their shelter to keep them out of the sun. And I'm thinking to myself, now that's poor. I mean, they had nothing. They didn't have nothing to even cover their head. Now, folks, what I'm trying to say is this. We have it pretty good in this country. If you're driving a car, you're better than the majority of people in the world, because most people in the world don't even have a car. Now, I understand that some of the cars we drive aren't that great. Hey, but it moves. Amen? Do you realize in a lot of countries today, it's either bicycle or you're walking it? I know when my son went to a mission trip to Papua New Guinea, he was telling me that when they went back in the jungle there for the church service, that they had to wait. You know, I mean, they get there like 8 o'clock in the morning, but they never started till noon. And my son's like, how come you're waiting so late? Because it takes them a while to get here. Nobody was driving. People were walking. And so that's, you know, and so we live in a relatively rich country. I'll tell you this, if you drive right down 10th Avenue South right now and you see all the stores they have on the left and right, it is very rare for you to go anywhere overseas where you see something like that. I mean, I'll tell you this, when I was in some places to where it would take you a week to spend $20 because there was nothing to buy. Here, how fast will $20 go? You won't make it past the first, if you put gas in your car and something to eat, you won't make it past the first convenience store. What I'm trying to say is we got it better than what we think. Amen? But God is watching our stewardship and he's watching our attitude towards money. All right, another thing that God is watching when it comes to our stewardship is not only our attitude toward money, but he's also watching to see how we use our money. In James chapter 5, look if you would at verse 4. It says, behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. Now, James is telling us that not only do some people have the wrong attitude towards money, but some are guilty of how they have used their money. And the wealthy here that James is speaking of are guilty of using their money to oppress the poor. These people were not paying the poor. In other words, the poor people were doing the job, but they weren't getting paid for their labor. And, you know, God is against gain that is wrongly gotten. Now, the thing of it is, again, he's not against, you know, wealth. But he is against wealth that's wrongly gotten. And these people were getting a gain by hiring laborers but not paying the laborers their wages. Now, there have been people, many people who ask me where in the Bible it says that gambling is wrong. I've had people come and go, show me where it says gambling is wrong. Well, you know, there are a lot of things in the Bible that it isn't going to come right out and say this is wrong, but there are what we call principles in the Bible, that it teaches certain principles. And, you know, you're not going to find the word gambling in the Bible, but there are principles that show that it is wrong to gamble. And I will say this, it's only a sin for a believer to gamble, and I'll tell you the reason why. You see, you mean to tell me it isn't sin for a lost person to gamble? A lost person's got bigger problems than gambling. A lost person needs to be saved, amen? But for a Christian ought not to gamble. And you say, well, why is that? Because God's way is for us as believers to give of what God has given us and receive more blessings from God because of being a blessing, in other words. In other words, God's going to bless us if we're blessing to other people. And if we're not blessing other people, then God's not going to necessarily bless us. So God's way is for us to be a thankful people and be content with what we have and relying on him by faith to provide for us and so that he will get the glory. But the world's way is to roll the dice. You see, we should be saying, God provide for us, asking God to provide for us and trusting that he will provide for us. But the world says, well, just roll the dice and by chance maybe you'll get something. That goes against Scripture. The Bible says that we are to be content with what we have. But a person sitting down there trying to gamble, what's he want? He wants to get more riches and more riches. And he's rolling the dice. He's not asking God for it. He's not doing that. You know how many, believe it or not, I've actually had people come up to me and ask me if it was okay to play the lottery. And I'll tell you right now, I don't believe it is. Why? Because you're supposed to be content with what you have, and if you say, okay, I want to win the lottery, I'll say, okay, why do you want it? Oh, because I could get rich. Isn't that covetousness? Why do you want to get rich? Here's what they say. Well, I'll make sure I tithe. You know, that's like saying, okay, I'll make sure I pay my taxes. The bottom line is people just want to get rich. Why? Just to get rich rather than trusting God. In other words, we shouldn't just buy a lottery ticket and by chance maybe I'll get those numbers. Oh, by the way, in case you didn't know, it's all a sham. You do realize that. Amen. And so gambling is wrong when you're putting your faith in chance, an awfully small chance at that, rather than relying on God. And God's against anything in this world that anything in this world or world's philosophy. God's against the glorifying of anything or anyone else when He alone is worthy of all glory. And God is especially against those who oppress the poor, because whether you like it or not, God is always on the side of the poor. Always. I do not think that God blesses any business that takes money from the poor, whether it be in the gambling industry or whether it be the liquor industry or anything else. If it takes money away from the poor, God is against it. You say, where do you get that? Right there in James. Listen, those rich people are oppressing the poor right there. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. When you look at Great Falls right now, you know the three things you see the most of? Casinos, hawk shops, banks. Now, isn't that a strange thing that you'd have those three? You know why you need the hawk shops? So you can get the money to put into casinos. You know, I'm just going to tell you right now, those things are places we need to stay out of. We need to stay out of it. Why? Because we should not be operating on chance. We should be operating on something that's going to give God the glory. When all of a sudden we pray for something and God answers the prayer and He allows us to have something, we should give Him the glory, not because, hey, I rolled the dice, I got lucky and won the thing. You say, what's the problem? The love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. We need to be careful to use what God has given us and what He's blessed us with to help the poor, not oppress the poor. We need to remember that God is watching not only our attitude towards money, but also how we use money. And then the third thing, God is also watching how we spend our money. There in James chapter 5, look if you would at verse 5. It says, ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. In other words, you've spent your money and have bought what you wanted. Ye have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. Here God's talking about those that live for pleasure and pleasure alone. People who take what God has blessed them with, and rather than helping out people with it, they spend it all on themselves. Now, listen, God is not against you having pleasure. He's not. In fact, James 1:7 says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God's not against you having pleasure, folks. I mean, I like to have pleasure. I like to go out and do things that are fun. Ecclesiastes 3:13 says, and also that every man should eat, drink, and enjoy the good of all of his labor. It is a gift of God. So God's not against us having pleasure. But even though He's not against us having pleasure, God is against selfishness, wastefulness, and being lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. He is against that. More than any other time in history, people today are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You know, there are people today who they buy boats and they buy RVs and they spend lots of money, knowing that the only way they'll be able to pay off that boat or that RV is to work on Sundays. And also they buy boats and RVs knowing good and well that the only time that they can use them are on Sundays. So you know what happens? What happens is in the summertime you have a lot of people, they'll spend all these money on pleasures and they'll just not come to church. And then I go talk to them and I'll say, how come you're not in church? How come you're not coming? They'll say, well, you know, I've only got these days off and I got a lot of plans, got to go fishing, got to go boating, got to go all these different things. Well, which one has the priority here? I mean, think about this. Again, God's not against you having pleasure, but if God allows you to have things and then you use those things to take away from spending time with Him, and you use those things on days when you should be in church, we're all going to answer before the Lord one of these days. Amen? The problem is this, is God has blessed us with a lot of things, but we ought not let those things affect our service for the Lord. We should use those things to glorify God, not affect us serving the Lord. And there are a lot of people today that they've gotten to the point to where the things that God has blessed them with, they're not using those things to glorify God. Those things now have become a hindrance to them serving the Lord. And it shouldn't be like that, folks. It shouldn't be like that. God's watching how we spend our money. And one of these days we're going to be held accountable for exactly how we spent that. You know, the Bible says it's more blessed to give than receive. How many of you know that's true? Now, if you don't, then I want to challenge you this coming Christmas. Give a gift to a kid and see the look in that kid's eyes. And I guarantee if you have any heart at all, no present that you could possibly get would ever match that. Amen? It is more precious to give. It's better to give than to receive. And if we would just get a hold of that and remember that, I tell you what, we'd all be a whole lot better off. If we just quit desiring our own pleasures and quit showering blessings upon ourselves, we could obtain those true blessings and true rewards that God talks about. God is watching every minute of every day to see what kind of stewards we really are with what he's given us. He's looking to see what our attitude is towards those things that he gives us. You know what our attitude ought to be? Thankfulness. Everything that you have, you should just thank the Lord for it. You know, I mean, I'm not talking about just your health, but certainly that's one, your health. You know, if you have a car, hey, if the thing starts up and moves, be thankful for it. Amen? I mean, even those trucks that transmissions are going out on. Amen? Hey, I tell you what, it still beats walking. Amen. What's our attitude supposed to be? Our attitude is supposed to be thankfulness and thank God for it, because everything that you have, the only reason you have it is because God has allowed you to have it. We also, he's watching our attitude toward money. He's also watching how we use our money. How are you using your money tonight? Are you using it to the glory of God? I mean, after all, for him allowing you to have it. You know, that's the reason, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I'm glad I'm not rich. Because with the more money you have, the more responsibility you have. The more you need to make sure you use it for the Lord's glory. How are you spending your money? Are you a giver? Is your attitude more blessed to give than to receive? How's your attitude toward money? How do you spend your money? How do you use your money? Do you use it to glorify God? That's something we need to think about tonight. And I know that the subject of money is one of those things that nobody wants to hear about, mainly because nobody has any. Amen? But still, we need to make sure that what we do have, we use for the Lord's glory. And be thankful for the things that we have. And no reason to try to hoard the things that we have too. Amen? Be givers. Be givers, like God is giver. All right, let's go ahead and stop there tonight.